Father, we just thank you. We praise you. We thank you tonight for each and every person that's here. We thank you for the anointing of God that's here, present. Father, we thank you for everything that you want to accomplish tonight. You will accomplish. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to go ahead and jump in since we only have 30 minutes. I'm going to try to get done by 8 o'clock if possible. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew, the 8th chapter. And we're going to start with verse number 5. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation tonight. It says, my Bible keeps turning. It says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, Lord, my young servant lies in bed paralyzed and in terrible pain. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. Now, right there, that should make someone excited, you know, to know that Jesus is going to come to your house to heal this servant. But what's interesting is that the man goes on to say, but the officer said, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come into my house. Now, let me stop right there. First of all, that's bad theology. All right, you are worthy to have the Lord come to your house. All right, so I want to make sure you understand that you know the Lord wants to come to your house no matter what you've done, no matter how bad you've been. He still wants to come to your house. All right, everybody is worthy to have the Lord come to their house. Everyone is worthy to be healed. Everyone is worthy to have their needs met. All right, we're all worthy because Jesus Christ died for us. Amen. And so I just want to let everyone know that that's bad theology, but anyway. But that's not my point tonight. All right? The man said, just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers. I have the authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go, and they go, or come, and they come. If I say to my slave, do this, they do it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed, turning to those who were following him, and said, I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel. You know, Jesus was amazed because everywhere else he went, they're like, Jesus, touch me. Jesus, heal me. Jesus, I mean, everyone wanted a touch from Jesus. All this guy wanted a word. Just speak the word, because if you speak the word, I know the words that you speak contain power. Amen. All right, he knew the words that Jesus spoke contained power, and all he had to do was speak the word. All Jesus had to do was speak the word. You know, it kind of sounds like today, a lot of Christians, they think the only way to get healed is to come down in a healing line. If the pastor said, well, we're just going to pray for you right there where you're at, they're like, well, I'm not going to get it tonight. You know, which is interesting. Why I don't know why you think that. So the power is less if you speak the word than if you touch somebody? Well, so that means that if you talk on the phone, that whatever you say is less important than if you actually talk to somebody in person. And if you text them, I'm not sure how even bad that is. They don't even get to hear your voice. So anyway, but I have determined, though, I was on my way here, and they're talking about now they've hacked into Colin Powell's emails. You know, I said, you know what? Don't send emails, just send text, because I've not heard yet. They've hacked into anybody's text yet. So, you know, quit sending emails, I guess, if you don't want to be hacked. Of course, if your emails are not that important like mine aren't, so nobody cares. And if someone wanted to hack my, go ahead and hack my emails. If you want to hack them, you can hack them. They're pretty boring. So anyway. All right. Says, I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. And I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. But many Israelites, those whom the kingdom was prepared, will be thrown into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Basically, he said, you know what? The people who should get it aren't going to get it. And the people who probably shouldn't get it, they're going to come and get it. You know what? Just come and get it. Don't be like the Israelites and be right there, you know, and not get it. I mean, many people know the Bible, but they're not acting upon the word that they know. Their lives are a mess. You know, well, yeah, but I'm saying this confession, that confession. You know what? Confessions are worthless if you don't believe them. You know, we have to confess with our mouth. and believe in our heart. And that's the thing, is most of the time people make confessions, but they don't even believe it. They don't believe that this is really the day the Lord has made and they will rejoice and be glad in it. They believe that they just woke up and they're just saying a confession. You know, and so if you're going to say something, believe it. And that's the thing, is that what this guy knew is that when Jesus was going to speak, he was going to believe what he said. He was going to speak with all authority and all power. And things were going to change because Jesus spoke. Things change when Jesus speaks. All right? It goes on to say, then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go back home because you believed it has happened, and the young servant was healed that same hour. Now see, the reason that the man was healed was not just because Jesus spoke, it's because the man believed. Because he believed in what was spoken. All right? Because he believed, the man was healed at that very hour. Now, at that point in time, you realize that they didn't have text messages, they didn't have cell phones. I mean, you know, I don't know how far they had to travel to get back to this guy's house, but they figured out it was this very same time. As soon as the words were spoken, things changed. All right, skipping down a few verses, you know, here in Matthew 8, we see another story where Jesus speaks and things change. Jesus got into the boat, and this is verse 23. Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly a fierce storm struck the lake with the waves breaking into the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him shouting. So they woke him shouting. Now, you know what? Nobody wants to get woken up being shouted at. All right? I mean, you know, if you wake up being screamed at, then, you know, you get startled and things like that or whatever. Now, I know you don't ever go wake up my dad screaming at him at close range or he'll hit you. You know, it says that's military training. He's just going to, I mean, you know, now if you want to shout across the room, I guess that's okay. But if you're close by, he's gonna jump out of bed and he's going to swing. So anyway, that's just the way it is. But so these disciples were shouting at Jesus. Lord, save us. We're going down. See, that's why I like the New Living Translation sometimes, you know. So it wasn't like, you know, they're waking up, hey, Jesus, can you help us? We have a little bit of problems here. No, they're like, Jesus, help us! You know, and so what's interesting is that Jesus responded and said, why are you afraid and you have so little faith? I mean, he was surprised that the very people that traveled with him didn't have any faith. You know, the thing about it is, I've noticed a lot of times the very people who come to church don't have faith. I mean, coming to church doesn't get you any faith. All right? I mean, just because you come to church, just because you read the word doesn't get you any faith. You have to actually act upon the word that you know. Now, you would think of all people that obviously the disciples wouldn't be worried, but they were. And so then he got up and rebuked the wind and waves, and suddenly there was a great calm, and his disciples were amazed. Who is this man, they asked. Even the winds and waves obey him. So when Jesus spoke, everything calmed down. Why? Because Jesus spoke. Now, when he spoke to the waves, he intended them to calm down. He believed whenever he told the waves to calm down that they would. And they did. He got what he believed. Now then, of course, we all know Mark chapter 11, and I'll go ahead and read that from the NLT as well since I'm already in the same thing. Mark 11:22, it says, then Jesus said to his disciples, have faith in God. I tell you the truth that you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen, but you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. All right? So the deal is that Jesus told his disciples, you have the same power to speak, and things change if you believe, just like I did. See, he was trying to teach his disciples that they had that same power, but when they spoke, they had to believe. Now, a lot of times I have found out that it seems that whenever we speak, we're not always speaking in faith, we're kind of speaking in hope. Well, I hope things change. And in fact, I have found that when I've talked to people about certain situations they're going through, and especially if it's been going a long time and they haven't received anything, I kind of talked to them and I find out that they're not really expecting to get anything. I mean, it would be nice. See, Jesus didn't say, well, you know what? If it might be nice as this mountain, you know, might move, then it might move if it's nice. He said, no, all you have to do is speak to this mountain. And he was pointing to a literal mountain because he wanted people to understand that even if you have the biggest problem imaginable that you can see, that can be destroyed through your faith by you saying the words. See, you don't have to wait for somebody else to pray for you. My biggest pet peeve is when people call me all the time on the phone, Craig, I need you to pray. Well, you know, I find out usually they haven't prayed themselves because they want me to pray. Now, if you want to call me on the phone and say, Craig, will you agree with me? I'm all for that. But, you know, if you don't know the word, if you're a new Christian, I'm okay with that. But I'm talking about people who've been in the church for a long time. You pray. I feel like, you know, some of these people are just like the disciples. Where is your faith? Why do I have to pray? Why do I have to speak to your mountain? Jesus didn't say, hey guys, whenever you're facing a big mountain, I need you to go find your pastor. Now make sure your pastor really believes. Because if you have an unbelieving pastor, you need to go find another one. But folks, you know, you just go find your pastor and you get him to pray and believe and things will be okay. Jesus didn't say that. He said when you need to move a mountain, you do it yourself. And how do you do that? Through opening your mouth. Through speaking the words. But speaking the words only is not good enough. You know, I like what it says here. It says, but you must really believe it. Must really believe it. Must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. You know, if you don't think it's really going to take place, you kind of have a little doubt in your heart. If you're only 85% there, this has no doubt in your heart. See, Jesus didn't think, you know, whenever he walked the earth, whenever he spoke the words, he didn't think, you know what, it might work and it might not. Just try it. Now, I've heard people say this when it comes to getting healed. Well, it might work and it might not. Now, the reason it doesn't work is because of your faith. All right? Because of what you believe. You're going to have what you believe. But you have to believe. Well, it's hard to believe. I'm really supposed to believe that a mountain's gonna fall out of the sky and go fly into the sea? Well, yeah. I mean, you realize that you're the same person that believes that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, that he came to this earth, that he was born of a virgin. All right, that didn't make sense, folks. See, God doesn't always make sense all the time. Your mind can't figure out how good your God is. Your mind will never figure out how much God really loves you and he cares about you and he wants to move your mountains. But he's waiting for somebody to be bold and say, you know what, I'm tired of this mountain sitting here. I'm tired of looking at it. I'm tired of the pressure. I'm tired about it. You know, I'm tired because, you know, if this mountain wasn't me here, I could get around a whole lot easier, but I have to drive around here and drive around this way, and I have to do all this other stuff because I have this big mountain here. Well, move your big mountain. Well, you know, that's just too much work. How am I going to do? I'm going to get some dynamite and some bulldozers and things like that, you know. Now, I understand, you know, I mean, think about, we're looking at mountains today and thinking about our technology. Our technology, we can move a mountain a whole lot faster than they could back then. You know, we have heavy equipment. I mean, we have, you know, dynamite. We can blow these things apart and move them, you know, whatever. But back then, you know, even if you were able to blow it up, then you had to go put it on horseback or whatever. You know, it takes forever to move a mountain. Now, also, the way that Jesus made it sound like that whenever you're going to move this mountain, you're going to move it all in one piece. That's pretty hard. Now, no one ever thinks about that because they're too busy to think about the mountain. I don't care if the mountain comes in one piece, gets a river gate. I don't care what happened to the mountain. Some people, you know, I've heard people say, well, you know what? You know, they had a tumor and the tumor disappeared. And they're like, well, where did it go? Who cares where it went? Well, I want to know. You're the same guy that reads the National Enquirer every week too, right? You know, the guy with three heads or all kinds of, you know, stories or whatever. You know, what do you care where it went? Amen. See, that's the thing. Maybe what a lot of you are, you're already trying to figure out ahead of time how God's going to move your mountain. Maybe you're trying to tell him, well, God, this is a good way you can move my mountain here. Because last time I had this financial difficulty, brother so-and-so, you know, you put it on his heart and he wrote me a big check and it was all paid off. So that's what you need to do. You need to get a hold of him. You know, I have found out a lot of times when someone has blessed us financially, that we kind of put our faith that that's how our next financial miracle will happen too. So what about the other 7 billion people that live in the world? Can't God use one of those people? Do you realize God can put it on somebody's heart in the middle of China? And they can look you up on Facebook and say, you know what, the Lord told me to give you $10,000. Is yen okay? I guess yen is Japanese, right? I don't care how, gold, whatever they use, okay? I have some Chinese money, just looks funny. Looks kind of like Monopoly type money or whatever, you know. So, you know, it doesn't matter. God can use anybody. And that's the thing about it is, what happens is, though, usually when we have mountains, you know, whether financial, whether physical, spiritual, emotional, whatever, instead of trying to move them, we get depressed about them. A lot of times, you know, even, it's interesting, a lot of times I see people, they sit around and watch their mountain grow and finally decide to do something about it. Well, God, maybe you'll find it on your heart to help me move this mountain. You know, I think I can move a piece of it. You know, the deal is the reason you can move a mountain is because you're not moving any mountains, folks. There is nothing that you say that's going to move a mountain. It's only what you believe. All right? It's not up to you to move a mountain. It's up to you to say it and believe it. Jesus never said, move your mountain. He said, say it with your mouth and believe it wholeheartedly. And don't doubt. Basically, he said, I'm going to take care of the rest. You know, we have another scripture that says, only believe. All things are possible to them that believes. It's your responsibility to believe. Not your responsibility to move a mountain. And that's why people have trouble with their faith walk. They say, well, brother, I have trouble, you know, having faith. No, you have trouble trying to figure out how that mountain's going to move. Once you determine, it's not up to you to figure out how any kind of mountain's going to move. Whether it's a physical mountain, a financial mountain, an emotional mountain, a spirit, whatever mountain it might be, I don't care what kind of mountain you have. Whether it's a big mountain, a small mountain, that's another thing. You know, a lot of times whenever we have small problems, we think, okay, I'll handle the small problems. I'll give only the big problems to God. Why? Well, you know, this is a small little deal. I'm just a little bit short this month. You know, it's not a big deal. Well, it's a big deal if you're short. And I don't mean short being not tall. I mean short, you know, financially. You can't meet, you know your bills are not being met because you know what? You know, say, well, you know, I'll just make it work. You know, I'll just kind of, all this kind of finagle things and you know, figure out, you know, if I write, and if I put a check in today, it probably won't hit the bank for 3 days anyway, you know. So, you know, I get paid, you know, because, I mean, you know, I get paid in a couple of days. So I'll just, you know, why not just ask the Lord to help you? You know, I found out that whenever we're facing issues, the last thing that we do is ask the Lord to help us. Now, it's interesting because he is the one who loves us. Now, sometimes we're like, well, you know, this is kind of stupid here, folks, but I got the whole book, you know, don't be stupid, go out there and get the stupid book out there. It'll help you. Sometimes the reason that we don't move our mountains is we don't want to tell him about it. Which doesn't make any sense because he already knows. Do you realize that God already knows? He knows when you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. I mean, you think if Santa Claus knows that God really has to know, okay? God knows what's going on. He knows that you didn't do some things right and got yourself in a financial mess. All right? He already knows. He knows you messed up. You don't have to, well, I didn't want to bother him. I mean, you know, I didn't want to tell him, you know. It's, you know, I understand that a lot of people in the day and age that we live in, you know, we try to hide things from our friends or hide things. I mean, you know, look at the political scene. Everyone's trying to hide everything. No one wants to tell anybody what's going on, you know, because I guess, you know, kind of like the movie with Jack Nicholson, you know, you can't handle the truth. I guess I figure people can't handle the truth. But the Bible says the truth will set you free. It says you should know the truth and the truth will set you free. You know what? Why lie? He knows the truth. You know, it's just like, you know, I've never, you know, you have the same thought pattern as Adam and Eve. You know, and we laugh at Adam and Eve, you know, because they said, well, where are you guys at? Well, we were hiding in the bushes because we're naked. Well, God can see you no matter what. All right, you can't hide from God. You know, when the Bible says that Jesus said he'll never leave us nor forsake us, I mean, he's right there watching you wherever you are. He knows when you're doing bad and good. So be good for goodness sake. You know, I've seen, reading some Bible verses. I was like, well, I didn't want to trouble the master. You know what? It's no trouble for the master. Do you think that, you know, when you have issues, that God's up there going, oh, man, that's going to be a tough one. Oh, man, I can't believe he asked about this. I mean, I don't. Are you insane? This is the same guy who said, you know what? It's dark. Let's have light. I know, the clapper works. All right. God invented it. Genesis 1:1. He invented the clapper. The light came on. He says, you know what? I think we should make man. Let's bring me some dust here. I mean, do you know all the cells and all the, you know, your body, I mean, it was made of a bunch of dust. Well, I know if you're a woman, it made from a rib. But I mean, yeah. So, anyway, but I mean, you know, all that came from dust. I mean, you know, that's pretty incredible to make a man from dust. I can't even, you know, make a man using Legos. I mean, I'm not talking about one that can even move, but I'm talking about one that even looks like a guy or whatever, you know. So, but I mean, it's incredible. So he's not concerned about your problems. He's not concerned about that he's not going to be able to handle it. Well, I don't want to give it to God because he can't handle it. He can't handle the truth. He already knows the truth and he can handle it. In fact, he already did. He sent his son Jesus 2,000 years ago to handle all your issues. Now, what's interesting is what Jesus told us in John chapter 14. And this is the reason why you can speak the word yourself is John 14 says this, and I meditate on this a lot. John 14, 12. It says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works. I mean, now notice this is red letters, folks, okay? This is Jesus talking himself. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. So he said, you know what? When I speak, things change, and they can change too whenever you speak because I'm with the Father now. And the things that I did and greater things you shall do also because I'm with you. Because you're doing those works in his name. And so you have to realize that whenever you speak to your mountain in the name of Jesus, you're not just speaking because, you know, with no power, no authority. You're speaking with the same authority that Jesus spoke whenever he spoke to the fig tree, which is the whole reason we had the mountain discussion in the first place. All right, we're talking about the same authority that Jesus, whenever he spoke to the winds and waves, that's the authority you speak with. And how can things not change whenever you have Jesus behind you? I mean, how can they not change? How can we not believe? How can we not believe? That's my question. How do you not believe? Because it's not about anything that you're going to do. It's about you believing that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, is taking care of your situation right now, and he's right with you. And you're putting your trust in him. You're putting your faith in him. Just like when this man came, he says, I'm putting my faith in what you say. But Jesus said, now you have the authority to speak the words in my name. And when you speak the words, the demons have to tremble. I mean, do you realize that you are the ultimate demonizer? You have more authority over anything that you know, I mean, that's a lot of authority. Demonic powers. You have authority to speak in the name of Jesus. Now, when you speak, you have to believe. Now, see, a lot of people are speaking, but they're not believing. All right? That's like shooting a gun that's not loaded. A lot of you are shooting blanks. Maybe you get a sound. You know, you hear the sound, but nothing happens. Nothing's explosive. It's really coming out of your gun. Just a bunch of noise. But whenever you speak and you believe, that boom, you hit the target every time. Now, the only reason that makes it hard, I said I wasn't going to talk about it, but John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's there to try to tell you, well, you can't do that. You're not even worthy for Jesus to even come to your house. You know what? Whether you're worthy or not, he's already at your house. And if you've never accepted him, he's at the door knocking. But he's still there. He's waiting on the day that you open that door. But it goes on to say here in John 14, it says, you can ask for anything in my name and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Then again, he said, yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. He said, you know what? Ask me for anything. Anything means anything you need. What do you need? Ask. All you got to do is ask. Amen. All you got to do is believe. And then you receive. Right. Ask, believe, receive. Ask, believe, receive. It works every time. It's one of God's laws. Just like the law of sowing and reaping. Ask, believe, receive. Now, you know, see, here's the deal. When you believe in faith, that you believe it's already been done. So there's no question of whether it's going to get done or not because you already believe it's already been done. Because we realize that actions are even louder than words. Jesus Christ took the action 2,000 years ago, took stripes on his back, said, by my stripes you were healed. I took care of your sickness, your disease. Whether it has a name or doesn't have a name, it's all under the blood. In the name of Jesus. I took care of all your problems. And it's time for you to act like it's so. Instead of getting depressed about it, instead of having a, you know, getting the, you know, having a hissy fit, just start speaking the word and believing what you say. Believe in the power. Believe in the power that's behind your words, because the same power that was behind the words of Jesus when he spoke to the man in Capernaum and said, you know what? Your servant will be healed at this very hour. And the same words that Jesus spoke, you know, to the waves and said, peace be still, are the same words that you speak when you say, problem be gone. Say, well, yeah, but I got a really big problem. It says, you can ask for anything. Anything includes all your big problems. In my name, and I will do it. Then he goes on to say, yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. I think that what he's saying is, you know what, I'm chomping at the bit to do whatever you need. Just ask, believe, and receive. Amen. Father God, we thank you for these fine people. And we thank you, Father, right now, that whenever we're facing an issue, facing a problem, facing a mountain that needs to move, that you'll bring this message back, that you'll help us understand, you know what? We can speak to that situation that hasn't changed. We can speak with authority and boldness and know the power that's behind the words that we speak. In the name of Jesus, those things have to change, because when we speak, we believe and we receive. And we thank you for it now. And we thank you, Father, for just giving us utterance to be able to speak what we need to speak. And Father God, we come against the devil that tries to tell us that we can't, tries to put thoughts in our mind. And we thank you, Father, right now, that each and every person, that whenever we're facing the next situation, that we'll be able to remember, I have the power to speak, and this thing has to change. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. God's a good God. Amen. 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 So be sure to let Dad know that 7:59 and 42 seconds. So all good. Amen. Amen. Well, if you're a first-time visitor, we have the connection team there in the aisle. Let's all stand up. If you're a first-time visitor, they'll want to take you to a special place, and they have a gift for you. And we want to thank you for coming. And, you know, if you're from this area, you know, we'd love it if you come back and make this your church home. If you're not from this area, every time you come back in this area, we encourage you to come and visit us here at Rainbow Bible Church. Amen. Then again, of course, Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, Sunday night at 6 p.m., and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. Amen. If you need anything, you know, whether it be salvation, healing, whatever, you need prayer for anything, we have men and women here, and they're ready, willing, and able to pray with you and help you in whatever situation you have. Of course, the men on this side, the women are on this side. That means if you're a woman, you go over here. If you're a man, you go over here. If you haven't figured out what you are yet, please talk to an usher, and they'll help you decide, all right? I don't want to leave it to you. I'll help people have an usher discern which side you need to go to. Amen. Praise God. Well, God's a good God. Amen. Amen. Continue to pray. You know, Mom and Dad, their service is probably almost over, but they're flying tonight. So, you know, pray for protection and pray for that they'll get rest and relaxation, because a lot of times they go on these crusades and come back tired. And I don't want them to be tired. Amen. There's no reason to be tired. Because especially for my mom, she's getting ready for Kindle the Flame. So all you ladies, you know, be sure to go sign up. You guys, if your wife hadn't signed up, go sign them up. Amen. So you have a good weekend by yourself with the kids. Eating SpaghettiOs. You know, my dad's favorite, you know, his favorite specialty is, you know, they put it in my mom's cookbook, a SpaghettiOs surprise. It's really hard to make. Take your can of SpaghettiOs, you pour it into a bowl, you put Velveeta cheese on the top, and you put it in the microwave oven, you know, for 2 minutes, and there you go, SpaghettiOs surprise. I don't know why it's called surprise, because you know what you get, SpaghettiO with cheese. But I guess it surprises Dad every time. He doesn't realize that. Amen. Well, God bless you guys. Shake hands with two or three people and you're dismissed. We'll see you back here Sunday morning.